Hello, good morning, and welcome. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Another record high. Another amazing week. We're closing in on 40,000 on the Dow. 40,000. But it was overpriced at 5,000, 8,000, 10, 15, 20. You get it. Multiple times. And then we had multiple corrections on the way to 40,000. But it's been overpriced for thousands and thousands of points. We all know that because we hear it every single day. You don't want to be in the Wall Street casino, all those things. It can't possibly go right. Yeah, JoJo and company at the White House. We've got inflation running. Complete incompetence all over the world. We're in retreat. It's an absolute, it is a horrible thing. I'm not making fun of it. But the market is not the incompetence of our leaders. The market is a group of the greatest corporations in the world. And they're killing it. They're just plain killing it. We can talk all we want, and people do. The media has been full of reports forever. I mean, we're not talking months. We're not talking even a year. It's been way longer than that. Excuse me. That we are talking about how overpriced the market is relative to the 16.5 it should be. I mean, almost 2 years ago now. I don't want to use a company. Let's just say one of the major Wall Street firms came to town, big meeting with our clients, huge meeting. And a couple hundred people came. And their national strategist, right, which is really just means they're the spokesperson for what the actual analysts think, right, is going to happen, the strategists think. So the spokesperson for that, anyway, their collective thought was to bring out a chart predominantly and talk about the fact that the average P.E. ratio is 16.5, and that's where we should be. So we're vastly overpriced. We think the market's going down. That was the message 2 years ago. Thousands and thousands and thousands of points ago. People can be wrong, but here's the point I'm trying to make. I'm not making fun of it. This is what we hear all the time. Not we, as in me and Petzl Financial. All of us. All of us. And so we're caught in this time where, again, the lessons are huge. Just buy and own the great corporations and go away. Two things. Don't chase the meme stocks. Don't go buy whatever that SPAC is that's going to turn into Trump's company. You might catch it, and then you sell out just at the right time before it goes to zero. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to go to zero, but it's not this valuable, amazing thing that you got to hurry and get in on because it's going to be worth so much. But you don't try to time the market. NVIDIA is too expensive at $200 a share, $300 a share, $400, $500, $600. You get it. And once again, nothing wrong. Not nothing wrong. You should trim runaway stocks. Trim doesn't mean sell all of it. It means take some of the money off the table, quit pressing your bet, put it in your pocket. Diversify to something else. Don't own too much of one thing. It gets back to that core thought. Why are we babbling about the market every day? Why? So we can chase people out of the market? Uh-huh. Sell opinion papers? Yep. Sell gold? Absolutely. So that we can sound smart? Uh-huh. Yeah. That's how we get people to invest with us. We sound smart. Smart is what? Predictive? I guess, even when predictions are wrong, more than they're right. It's an astounding, weird thing we do. When we talk about this all the time, it chases us away. It chases us away. Don't get chased out. Oh, what do you think about the market now? Oh, with the election coming up, are elections good? Are they bad? Are they this? Are they that? What if JoJo wins? What if Trump wins? One of them probably will win. And it's ugly. It's just ugly. It is just an ugly situation. And the market rolls. Market rolls. Was Wall Street on drugs? Well, some probably are. But like literally, is Wall Street just a bunch of stupid people? No. So let's think about this. What's driving market? Oh, yeah, that's the other point, right? It's so super narrow. We've only got just a few companies that are the whole market. That's true. That's absolutely true. And it's almost always absolutely true. The big driver is always a few companies. Because the way the indices are, they're weighted to the biggest, best, fastest growing companies. Weighted meaning, basically, the bottom 450 stocks of the S&P 500 are irrelevant. And most certainly the bottom 300 are. Irrelevant. You'd be like, the bottom 300 tripled today. Oh, okay. Did the market go up? No, it didn't do anything. I mean, it's so irrelevant what number 400 does compared to the top 10. It's irrelevant. Unless, of course, you own the company. But the point being is they're weighted to the big giants that are really rolling. And you might find a company like NVIDIA that is really rolling big time, and it doubles and doubles and doubles again, and suddenly it finds itself in the top 10. And then we can all point out and go, see how overpriced it is? All these companies are the big driver behind it. But let me put it this way. As I did with Kevin, do we really want to own really cheap, bad companies? Is that the idea? I want to own Ford and General Motors. I don't want to own Tesla. And I'm not making a today statement. Tesla's running into all kinds of problems right now. I'm talking about, is this what you would want to own? Do I want to own airline stocks that always going to, you know, go up a little bit and then go all the way back down and stay down? Have labor problems, high energy costs, perhaps a recession thrown in, airplane problems, doors fly off. I don't know. I don't know. And a guy like Pete Buttigieg, who doesn't know anything about anything, is going to make the rules to run your industry. Wow, super high regulation. Just, wow, what a great business to be in. I don't want to own that. And they ought to be cheap. Do I want to own a company that mints money quarter after quarter, spends billions of dollars on R&D to stay at top of their game, to, say, develop AI, and has $100 billion of cash in the bank, but is more expensive than Ford? I don't know. I don't know if I want a company like that because it's expensive. And we get in this thing about thinking about historic price-to-earnings ratios and all these things. It's a little dinosaurish to me. It's a little entrenched. And I'm not saying the market should just go straight up. It won't. We'll talk more about that in the next hour. Caution everywhere. But when we're making the wrong argument when we talk about stocks being expensive. We're just making the wrong argument. We're making the argument because we've been so wrong. Analyst Bob has been really wrong, like for a couple of years, because prices were high 2 years ago. You always have to pay more for the very best. And I'm not just talking about the very best car or clothes. the best companies, the ones that generate growth, generate higher growth, are expensive because they should be. And we miss the point when we argue about things that don't really matter. Market's up. It's at all-time highs. It's on its way to 40. Then it'll be 50,000 someday, and then it'll be 60. It'll be 100,000. Dow 100,000. Oh, yeah, yeah, you Pollyanna. Yeah, I know. Yeah. If you thought it was going to be something else if the Dow got to 3,000, as Sir John Templeton predicted in the early 80s. He was right. Oh, wow. Really? He was right. We made it to 3,000 and then to 6. And on and on. We make the wrong arguments when we try to find and figure out, is the market too high? Is the market not too high? Is it cheap? Is it dear? You can make that on an individual company level, and people should, as they analyze whether they want to buy or not. But we miss it. We miss these transformative changes in the world, like AI, like the computer, like the cell phone. It's transformative. Was Apple too expensive? Ever? Maybe it is today. Lots of people say. Same people usually that have been saying it for the last 40 times. But you see, we have to own these great companies, and you just own them because you can't predict things on some historic P.E. ratio. It just doesn't work, even though people still do it. The world's different. It's very, very different. It doesn't mean trees grow to the sky. Got to be careful out there. Hey, Bo, let me go ahead and just finish up this hour. Let's throw the commercial at the end. Would you just put on the board here how much time to what time to go out? It is just crazy that we get wrapped around some little thing like price-to-earnings ratio to make the entire case and then get stuck with it. Now, I remember, I think it was Morgan Stanley's analyst that was so, so wrong for a really long time. Like, famously wrong. I'm not picking on him. Because you'll know in a moment I'm not picking on him. I'm not picking on him at all, because what he did after missing it for a long, long time and staying bearish for a long, long time, he transitioned. Now, right or wrong, okay? Yeah, I know he didn't make a sex change transition. He transformed from a bear to a bull, meaning he's become positive on the market. Positive. So as we think about what he did, that's hard to do. It's really hard to do. We'll see how it goes. He may have called the top of the market. So far, he did for a little bit, and then it's gone a little bit higher. So he's okay. We're at record highs. But that takes guts. It takes courage to say, I was wrong. On TV, in front of lots of people, I was wrong. And here's why I'm changing my mind. I like that. People can change our minds, and we need to do that. We've got to change our minds. All right. I don't know if there's any time left here at all. I'm going to have to say, because I don't know what time these commercial breaks are coming. So at any rate, we will probably talk to you shortly after the top of the hour and Fox News for hour number two of Money Matters. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO is our number. And Dave at PetsoFinancial.net is our email. And of course, like I say all the time, we're not here to tell you what to buy, and sell. We're the anti that. It's ridiculous, and it creates literally like this trading mentality, like a gambling mentality. You don't want to do that. That's not how you treat investments. That's not how you have 10 baggers and 20 baggers. And what are 10 baggers and 20 baggers? They're companies that you buy for, let's say, for easy math, $10, and they go to 100, giving you 10 times, 10 bags, 10 baggers, 200, 300, $400 a share. It doesn't happen when you trade, ever. It happens by owning great companies. And they're rare. They're rare. You could have owned General Motors for like most of your life and you haven't made much, you made less in cash. They're rare. But even owning Google, I know it's Alphabet, or Facebook, I know it's Meta, Netflix, Apple, Amazon, not at their IPO. Not when they were at the lowest price possible, has produced 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 baggers. These were not little known companies. They're giants. Giant giants. They weren't giant giants. They were good companies, big companies, well known on top of their game companies. What I'm saying is owning, not trying to trade, is how you win at this 100% of the time. 100% of the time. That's what's happened. That's what's happened. But if you trade, you trade in and out, and it's super fun. It's quotes, entertainment. It's not entertainment. It's not entertainment at all. Not at all. Because it steers us the wrong direction. Totally wrong direction. So as we approach Dow 40,000, we've already surpassed S&P 5,000. Again, we have to keep in mind, because I know this is going to turn your world upside down, because I'm always optimistic, and I am. The day you should put your cash to work in stocks is today. It was yesterday. The day before. But when we have a world with so many potential black swans in it, black swans being really big, bad events, unusual. Nobody knew there was a black swan until they found a black swan, and that's why they call them black swans. They're very unusual. Nobody knows. It's impossible to predict, but something bad is always around the corner, something big, impactful. By the way, I think they have this little thing called the silver lining swan, too, because it's always around the corner, too. Always is technology around the corner that fixes everything. It'll fix the climate, by the way, but we won't wait for it. We got to beat each other up about it for a while. We got to be crazy. We got to have government stupid policy. We got to have really stupid people lying to us about the end of the world. Screaming and yelling, 10 years, we're all going to be underwater. Well, that was 20 years ago, Al. 30 years ago. Well, it's going to be the next 10 then. It goes on and on. But technology keeps solving all these problems. Notice that? The silver lining swan we never talk about? Always seems to, oh yeah, that's why. Look at that. Oh yeah, we're at S&P over 5,000. Okay. This keeps happening. And at the same time, I'm saying we need to be a little bit cautious here because the next correction is right around the corner. I just don't know how long the street is. Nobody knows. We are going to have a correction. And we have so many things going on in the world. This isn't political. I know it sounds like it, but for crying out loud, it's economic. We have a bumbling president that can't find his way out of a room. Every major policy decision globally, according to Bill Gates of the Obama administration, not just me, JoJo has been wrong on the wrong side of every major foreign policy decision in the last 50 years. That's how long he's been around. It seems inconceivable how wrong somebody could be. And he's never wrong. Do you notice that? From the border to Afghanistan, always wrong. And he wants to raise taxes. He wants $7.3 trillion. This is mind-numbing, but the budget that he's just pushed through, we don't even talk about this, right? $7.3 trillion. Well, that's just such a big number, I can't wrap my mind around it. You're absolutely correct. They count on that. They count on us not caring that we're now $33 trillion, 35 next year, 40 whenever, and we won't be able to pay interest on our debt. That's great. We're on our way. But JoJo's still in charge. I get it. This is a problem. And it is. We're all waiting for some kind of an economic outcome from this. Like, when will stocks stop rallying when the realities of what's going on around us hit? And the answer is, we don't know. We don't know. We just know that they're going to get hit. Well, I don't want to be part of that. Okay, then don't own 10, 20, 30 baggers. Don't get rich doing nothing. Be really super smart. Sit in your basement by yourself and be super smart and go on the computer and figure out what's wrong and why it's all going to go to heck in a handbasket. That'll make you really smart. And you could chat with other people online about how really smart you are. See, we can't time this. Nobody's ever been able to, but people try it all the time. We keep doing this, and we do it over and over and over again, which is why I say that is not. It makes no sense to sit around and do that. You go, buy, 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 sell, sell, sell. It doesn't. That's not entertaining. It's financial pornography. It leads us the wrong direction. And we should be asking questions like, what in the world's going on when NVIDIA goes to the moon? It's called AI. Why AI? Is it real? Yes, it's real. It's going to change the world in ways we don't know. And companies we don't even know exist are going to be monster companies. It may transform for another run to like $10 trillion worth of market cap for Apple and Google, Amazon. Do you think they're getting better and faster at feeding you the kind of stuff you want to buy? And bring it to your door even faster and cheaper? I do. It's amazing what's happening. And we all these little things like in healthcare, we take for granted. Just heard one yesterday. Okay, so they go in genetically to a pig's kidney and change the cellular level so it will go into a human and not be rejected. And the guy's alive. By the way, he's already tried a human one and it failed. Oh, yeah, that's cool. No, it's not cool. It's amazing. it's way more than cool. It is unbelievable how far we're coming and all of this stuff. And we just go, huh? Why should the market tank? Because it's not going to tank. It'll go down and then go to all-time highs, because it always does, because we keep innovating, creating, and generating more and more cool stuff that people want to buy or that save lives. That's why. That's why. So it's not to make fun. I understand. CNBC can't exist without constant babble. Is the market too high? What do you think interest rates are going to do? How many cuts are interest rates are we going to have? How many cuts? How many cuts? How many cuts? That's what we have to talk about all the time. Cutting interest rate. What the Fed's going to do? They burped this week. Did you hear? They did. I don't know what they said different, but they did. They met, and now we can go for the next 6 weeks till they meet again. What do you think they're going to do? 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 Oh, they did. Oh, okay. And then we can do it again. Because we have nothing to talk about. Because innovation, even though it's fast, isn't a daily news item at all. And so we babble. And we buy, 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 sell, sell, sell. Doesn't make any sense. But at least we got March Madness to distract us for a little bit of time. All right, let me grab my headphones here and let's change directions. I think we're going to talk a little bit about the USS Idaho. Mike Allen from Connecticut. Mike, thank you for keeping us all posted.
Hey, Dave, how you doing? thanks for taking my call. And I did want to reach out to you to let you know that the event, the christening that happened last Saturday, was awesome. We probably had over 200 people from Idaho come out for this event all throughout the state. We had corporate sponsors that were part of this, like Simplot and Albertsons, and I don't know if Albertsons was out there, but anyway, it couldn't have been better. And I just want to thank you for helping us get the word out, because it was such a good event. And so, folks that probably don't know me, I am from Idaho. Originally, I joined the Navy, probably 35 years ago, and never made it back home. Married a girl from New England, and when you do that, you pretty much dig your own grave. You're going to be stuck out here. But eventually, I do get back there quite a bit. But thank you. Thank you again. And the commissioning will be sometime in 2025. And I'm hoping to see more folks from Idaho come out. We were anticipating 600 for that event.
Wow, that's great. That's great. So, and I you had kept us posted about the, wasn't it Spud Beer? Tell everybody the story about Spud Beer, how that came about.
Oh, and Sockeye Brewing partnered up with a brewery out here called Outer Light. They're in Groton, right down the street from the electric boat shipbuilder. And they came up with a collaborative beer using only Idaho ingredients. In fact, Sockeye Brewing sent all the, the hops and barley out to Outer Light so they could produce the beer. And so we had an event, a beer release event at the Submarine Museum, showcasing this beer, and it's a good beer. I'm pretty particular about my beer, but Sockeye nailed it. Sockeye and Outer Light nailed it, and I think it's available still at Sockeye. It's just a limited release, but I think they still have some on tap. They didn't can it. Outer Light canned it, so I had to buy a couple cases for a souvenir. So
absolutely.
But Sockeye was just fantastic help with all this. And they were out here, so it was really good to see them again.
Oh,
so,
that's terrific.
It's fun stuff.
But tell everybody how the name came about, too, though.
Oh, Spud Juice. They called it Spud Juice. I tasked the crew. I've met with the crew a few times, and I asked them to come up with a name and a logo for the beer. And the name they came up with was Spud, and that's an acronym for Special Purpose Underwater Drink, a typical military type of acronym. And so they called it Spud Juice. And the logo is basically the state of Idaho with the submarine protruding out of the outline of the state. And it just came out fantastic. And Dave, I don't know if I sent you a picture of that, but I will. Because
okay,
I know you and Tom been kind of interested in this, so
absolutely.
But
absolutely.
What a fun event! I hope folks from Idaho can come out. I know it's kind of an expense and kind of a hassle, but it really is a once in a lifetime event, mm-hmm. at least for me.
Well, we appreciate you. Most certainly, and we appreciate you keeping us posted on it and. I know they have a large number of people involved in that. Governor Kemp Thorne, I think, heads it up here in Idaho. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention it. Governor Little was here. He gave a speech, and Governor Kemp Thorne was here as well, and he gave a couple of speeches at some of the events we had, not at the christening, but he's a big part of that. What a nice guy, too. It's first time. He was a mayor when I was living in Idaho, mm-hmm. so it's been a while, but what a great guy.
That's true. That's
really
true.
Really good.
Yeah, that's good. Well, Mike, I appreciate you keeping us up to date on all of this and your call today, and I do wish you a wonderful weekend, and thank you again for taking the time to call us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, and tell Tom he's getting me closer to retirement, so maybe I can end up coming back to Idaho soon, so keep up the good work. I appreciate it.
Good luck convincing your East Coast girl of that. There you
go. yeah, that's true. All right.
All right. Take care, Mike.
Dave.
Thank you. Bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It has been such a neat thing to hear about this from my perspective. These things happen, and, you know, put a state name on a battleship or whatever. Idaho doesn't have a lot of that, and the level of involvement here has been incredible. And I just the level of excitement for people in this is contagious. It's just amazing, and I think it's exciting, and I appreciate it very much. So happy we could bring that information out to everybody. Our number here, 580-5436. Our email is dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us on this gorgeous Saturday. Maybe not so gorgeous, but it's a Saturday indeed, and March Madness Saturday. So it probably couldn't be more perfect unless your plan was to be out playing golf before March Madness got going today. At any rate, thank you for joining us. It's a 580-5436, 580-KIDO, if you want to get in line on the phones. And also we have dave@petsofinancial.net. Let's go to TC in Nampa. TC, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, sir. A question. Someone put my wife into an annuity. I've always been under the impression there was something negative regarding annuities. Perhaps you can enlighten me a little bit.
I'll try. It's very complicated, but let me say you're correct. Let me start this way. I think about 95% of annuities are sold to make a commission. They're inappropriate sales, is what I'm saying. It's a huge number.
Yeah.
I'm not saying all, okay? I'm saying it's a product that we rarely use, okay? And being fiduciaries, we have to be, we always have to do what's right for the client. There are circumstances, whether it's for a Medicaid planning situation, it's a spendthrift clause where people are just can't control or their kids keep stealing their money, whatever it is, okay? There are circumstances to keep it away from people and keep it inflexible. There are some circumstances, but they're rare. There are usually alternatives that are far, far better, and many of them are even safer, right, than the annuities, because they're only the full faith and credit of the insurance companies, and not all of them are all super solid. So we have to be careful there. But the biggest problem I have with them is that they can simply seem to be able to say anything they want. For example, they used to say here on this station, don't pay any fees, as if a 10% commission on an annuity wasn't a fee. Well, you could never say that in any other industry in the whole wide world. It'd be like saying,
sure,
my car dealer didn't charge me a sales commission for the salesman. Yeah, he did. It's in the price, man. I mean, it's like, it's kind of crazy. It's like, don't worry. They just write a check over here at the insurance company. And so they don't have to disclose those things. And that seems so deceptive to me. And when you have to be deceptive, something's wrong, right? I mean, it's like and also annuities are always like, well, we think this reminds me of the old commercials. Like, well, we think you should be in our super, super secret CD. And you go into the banker, and the next young couple comes in and goes, yes, well, after carefully looking at your situation, you should be in our super CD. No, it's always, you should be in our annuity. You should be in our high commission annuity. You need to be in our high commission annuity. And that's what they think everybody ought to be in. Now today, it's getting better. Now, so let me put it this way. The commissions are still too high. They're terrible. But there are starting to be some fee-only ones. They just don't seem to be catching on. So I don't hold my breath that that's tomorrow. But fees are coming down everywhere. And now, because of supercomputing, we have exchange-traded funds that will do virtually everything an annuity does. I say virtually because we're back to that 5% where it might work, okay? But you have, okay, if today, I'm going to get my numbers because I gave this last week or the week before. We just talked to one of our ETF exchange trade fund. They're just like stocks on the stock exchange. You can buy them and sell them any day the market's open, right? That's what they are. And they're traded. So you have no commissions, you're not tied up for 5 seconds, okay? You can get an 8% cap. That means you can, if the market goes up 10, you only get 8, okay? But it's 100% on the downside is protected. And that's what really all of these annuities were about. But if you change your mind and you want to just participate in the market and not have caps and you want to collect dividends and all those other things, you don't have to tie your money up for 10 years like you do with an annuity. They're literally available now. There's no contract. There's no nothing. And they're 8% upside and 100% buffer. I think I don't want to do it. We're not doing it. I just want people to be aware of the fact that if you want 100% guarantees because you're scared to death of the market or whatever it is, they're available all over the place now. And you might say, well, 100%, who needs 100%? But I'd like 20% downside protected. Okay, that's available. How about 15? How about, I think I saw one the other day, was 12.5. Okay, there are dozens of them out there because some people are worried, they want a little downside, or they think the market's due for a correction, but they still want to participate. All of that comes at cost. It's called, you lose your dividend and you have caps. You can't go up 20% if the market goes up 20%. That's the downside of that. But the annuities, okay, that's what they do. So, TC, you're right. Ask the questions, and it needs to be in just the right circumstances, in my opinion. And I don't think my opinion is odd outside of the insurance world of annuity salespeople. My opinion is universally shared that is should be as abortion used to be for Democrats. Rare. Okay? Rare.
Okay,
it should be very rare circumstances that we use it because the costs are high and your money is gone. You have to think of it that way. It's gone. Gone for 10 years. The costs are so high. And people are walking off with commissions that just don't exist in this world anymore. They're margins are tight, right? I mean, most financial firms are 1% or less to manage lots of different financial aspects in your life. And that is just come down from much higher levels and all across the industry, whether it's fees inside mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, fees for the financial advisor, all of them are coming down, but not annuities yet. We're going to get there.
Interesting. Are these, I'm trying to think how best to put this, it's a friend of the family, per se, very loosely put, is this person's employer probably the one responsible for this? Because I'm just a little disappointed that they would, that this individual would do that to us. Is it say, well, my employer says I got to hit X mark or whatever. Is that where it's generated from generally?
TC, no, it's not. I wasn't there in the room. I wasn't there for what was said, and I don't know the people. Yep. So let me put it this way, okay? I'm going to try to put it in a way that makes some sense to my brain, and hopefully it'll work for you. I think that by and large, people in the financial industry are trying, okay? I think by and large, some are not, and I just don't know where this person fits. So you'll have to make up your own mind. And money is a big chase in every industry out there, and a lot of people who are, myself included, who put my shoes on with holes in them, and that's a true story, because I couldn't afford them, and go out, and I had to eat what I could kill. I mean, I had to sell something. I had to. And then to eat. And so this was that's how it started. It's not that way anymore. Okay. So this is one of the reasons I think this is kind of going away. But if people want to do this business right, and I mean right, where you just say, I am going to work so hard and I'm going to learn so much and I'm just going to sit and listen to great people in this industry. And that's my life, right? That is my life. I'm not a social media guy. I'm a da da da. And that's what they're focused on. And they understand the rule of time. It takes time to learn. It takes time to get some wisdom. And it takes time to build up a clientele. If you want to make money fast, you sell annuities. If you want to make a ton of money slower, then you build an advisory firm. And you build it over decades. And it becomes this amazing thing that you get to enjoy the fruits of your labor, but you also get to enjoy the love of your clients. And that is a different ball game. So I'm just saying that there's differences in the industry. You'll have to decide yourself. But I will not work in an industry. I will not be part of this industry when it is not a fiduciary, and still people will. They'll say, I do good, but I'm not a fiduciary. Well, that's fine. Well, why don't you tie yourself to a fiduciary, which is a legal requirement? And that's the difference. And so if your person is making a commitment to getting better, thought the annuity was great, that's fantastic. If all they do is sell annuities, they're not trying to get better, that's a different ballgame and a different pursuit than I went down. And I will spend the rest of my life trying to stop that from happening.
Is this something that we can undo, or now that it has been done, we're stuck with it situation? Or
you have a 20-day period of which you can, once the policy is in your hand, the annuity contract is in your hand, you have a 20-day rescission window with no cost. After that, there is probably a 8 to 10%. Some are higher, but there is a surrender charge because that's how much money the person walked off with. There are also, if it's not appropriate and you find that it is not appropriate in looking at it, like tying up too much of a person's money, things like that, you can always put a claim in with the state. And seriously, they take it very seriously. They want people to get the information. And in many, many, many cases, they get people's money back with no surrender charges. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I sincerely appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call. You have a good day now.
Will do.
And bye-bye. Good luck to you. Bye-bye. Our number is 580-5436-580. Terry, you're up to bat next. I was going to say, but I got it right in the middle of the phone number. So there you go. All right. We are going to take a quick break here. Fox News is next, and then up to bat is Terry. We'll be right back. Hello. Welcome. Hey, thanks for joining us. Very much appreciate it for 30-some years. Incredible. Unbelievable. I can't believe I'm that old. And B, I can't believe you put up with me for that many years. So thank you. I really appreciate it. Appreciate all the comments, questions. And if you have any comments or questions, please shoot those to petsofinancial.com. We also have podcasts there and at the Apple and Google stores. So check it out. If you missed anything or want to forward some message to somebody, that's where you do it. And those should be out, usually are. Bo gets them over to our office over the weekend, and we get them uploaded on Monday. So let's go to the phones. Terry, you're a patient man today.
Well, good morning, Professor. Good morning. Did I have an option?
Yeah, no, you did not. You didn't. Well, you could have. Yes, your option was hang up and do it again.
There's some things I'm not going to get my knickers in a bunch about.
There you go.
But, hey, we got rain to wash the streets for the Tree Fort Parade, and my plum tree is blooming, and our profligate, self-serving, disingenuous clowns back in Washington brought back earmarks for the budget.
I know.
What could go wrong?
I know. It is crazy. We live in a crazy world. It's hard sometimes to take that insanity, to sit around and watch what's happening at the border and go, yeah, that sounds like a reasonable policy. I understand why we wouldn't have borders. I don't get it. To what end is this? And it does make us frustrated, and then we miss what companies are doing. So, yeah.
Now, I've been talking about the budget for 40 years. I'm getting kind of tired now. So
Yeah.
But President Eisenhower had it right with Operation Blank Back. I don't even know if you're going to get censored or not if I say the actual name of the program he had. But send them back. That was what part of illegal don't people understand? And the Texas thing, the El Paso thing, heck, look at the Garda's up front with just some concertina wire, and then there is the big old federal wall that President Trump built with the darned feds behind it watching everything happen. And it's just not right. But the actual question I had here, sorry we got sidetracked a little bit, but it all works until it doesn't. When does this budget stuff actually tip over into we've taken too much productivity out of the economy and given it to the unproductive in the government, and it's got to stop sometime. I just don't know if it's going to be a two-way rifle range and fires in the streets and riots and all, or just what's going to happen.
Well, I don't know. Japan kind of defied the what we thought was a barrier, right? You have more than 100% GDP going to service debt. They survived it. In fact, they seem to be doing better now, but not because of that. But when you think about how slow growth has been in Japan, and then people go, well, yeah, but they're not like the United States. I agree. It's a bad comparison because they don't have any natural resources and they don't allow immigration. So their growth rate is just terrible. They just have an old population. I get all that. But one of the things that you have to logic through, and if I were an economist, I would imagine you can play with different models and come up with this. But logically, what we have is that you now have, and JoJo wants to take our top tax bracket to 60%. That won't solve anything.
Only from you rich people.
Right, correct. And that's true, but you're saying I want to hammer the most productive people to give it to the most unproductive people. And you're saying, oh, that's mean. No, it's not mean. I'm not talking about those people that don't have opportunities. I'm talking about the fact that government is not good at anything. They aren't growing anything. They don't even make things more fair, which is really the whole idea that people have behind every single new law they pass. My point is you take more money from productive and give it to unproductive, it slows down the growth rate. It already has. So we're already seeing this when we call it the Obama super slow growth years, which even the Obama administration admitted, hey, this is slow forever. In other words, we want to be like Europe. We can't change that. And then Trump comes in and it changes. And I'm not going to give him a ton of credit for it. I'm just saying when government starts to act like it doesn't hate big business, it doesn't want to start starving the productive to feed the unproductive, it changes the dynamic and we can continue to grow. But when you reach a point where you're saying, okay, instead of getting 4% growth like we did under Reagan, 4 or 5, and then it became 3 or 4, and then under Obama it's 1, we want to, when does that tip over where the productive is so penalized we run to zero growth and we can't grow anymore? When do we become Europe? At what point of government intervention? Size of government is what matters. Not the tax rate and not balancing the budget. We're focused on balancing the budget, but it's the size of government, because every dollar is being fed from production to non-production. And then we just go, oh, we got an extra $1 trillion over here. Let's go spend it on our cronies. And that is killing us.
That bad policy drives out the good. Ask New York, Illinois, California, or Texas and Florida. That's where, you know, the beneficiary of that
of better policy.
Axiom.
Yeah, it's true. It's good point. I don't know where that is my point. We just don't know. And I have to feel like we have seen that just recently. We've seen where bigger government slows down ever, no matter what. I mean, okay, economy is cyclical. Yes, but it also, you can put caps on it. You can say, the more government we have, there's no way we can grow above 4%, 3%, 2%. When we get down below inflation rate, we have a problem. And Houston, we do have a problem. I don't know when the tipping point is, Terry, and that's the problem everybody has. We're all dancing around the bonfire until the bonfire blows up.
Right. You know, at least you had a good point with young Mr. Miller earlier about, Idaho's got a pretty good thing going. So we'll try not to jinx it.
There you go. I appreciate it. Terry, good call. Thank you for the day.
Thank you, sir. Good day.
Bye now. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Let's go to the phones. Mike, how are you today?
Fantastic, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, I'm grand. I'm grand. Thank you. I appreciate a gray day once in a while.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As long as the wind isn't blowing, I'm happy.
Oh, I'll bet. I see. Yes, you're being down and good, and yes, you're used to wind, but yes.
So, quick question, is it too late to jump onto the NVIDIA bandwagon, or is that like closing the gate after the horses have already left the barn?
You know, it's an interesting point. NVIDIA is a direct play. Is it too late for AI? I think that's what you're seeing running all over the place with Amazon, Google. They've all had good run-ups because AI is going to be an amazing tool for them for productivity. You know, and also who knows what else they're going to be using it for. NVIDIA continues to lead and dominate in chips, but you know, everybody in the world's running after them, and they will catch them. No different than Tesla at some point is being caught by the EV people, even if they're all losing money at it. Mike, I think in one sense it's the hot stock. In another, it's in IRAs and I'm sorry, your mutual funds. It's in your ETFs. People own more of it than they think. And So as far as a direct play, though, it's awful hard for me to say at this point. I like to buy things that when I really like backing up the truck when I see stuff like Amazon down 30% or 40%. And that's where we were actually, you know, like about 20 months ago. They all were down. Sure. NVIDIA was too. And so I would look for a backup before I did, because this stock just seems to be running, and they've come up with exchange traded funds that work on a 1 day option trading thing, 2x leverage in NVIDIA, things like that are crazy. And it just looks like a bad thing ready to happen. And I don't mean a crash. I just mean NVIDIA. I don't know how you value it here because it is so good, but it is so high.
Right.
It is that good. It deserves a high multiple, and it is just hard. But as far as different you know, when we think about it from a business perspective, we have been fortunate to own a little bit of NVIDIA in our highest growth portfolios, but it doesn't pay much of a dividend. It's like next to nothing, and so it's really hard for growth and income and things like that. But realizing too, that's okay, because we have it represented in or directly owned in tech funds, the Internet of Things, all those types of exchange traded funds that are used even in growth and income funds. People have more of it than they think.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm just curious.
God, well, me too. I don't know. I mean, is it going to go to 2,000? I don't know. It's a hard one.
Sure.
But I'm looking for a pullback before I would think about reloading here. So that's just my feeling. Right. But I'm certainly not selling all. If you own it, keep it. And I'm not looking for market, or I should say mutual funds that are don't own it. I want them to own it. So. I'm pleased that it's in everybody's portfolio because it's been a home run.
Sure. Okay. Fantastic, Dave. Have a fantastic day.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thanks for the call. And let's go ahead and quickly, let's see if we can grab Bob before we're done. Hey, Bob, go right ahead.
Hi. A couple quick comments from you. Is the government trying to break up one of our most innovative, creative companies, or is Apple doing some bad stuff?
Both. Apple probably is a really good competitor and probably doesn't want to spend money on other companies to make sure that they can integrate well. But I listened to the press conference, and I think our attorney general is an absolute idiot. It's beyond comprehension that this is what they're spending time and money going after, is one of our great American corporations for nothing. For nothing. If you want to, fine them. That's fine. Change it. Do something. But an actual out-and-out lawsuit, because he's actually literally saying that it's embarrassing for people because there's a bubble that says they're not in the Apple sphere. Like, you got to be kidding me. That's a reason to run a lawsuit. So I think that this Justice Department is completely lost and is deflecting off of all the other things that they're doing wrong, to be honest with you, Bob. And this is idiotic. I have no idea why he doesn't just have a bunch of minions go out there and talk to Apple and fix it. Instead, he gets up there and talks about bubbles being green and that's somehow, anti-competitive. So, I think it's a terrible thing what they're doing, and probably Apple charges too much, but that's their choice. Bob, thank you. I'm sorry. We're out of time. And again, we are out of time. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back live next week.